Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 in your Bibles. We have this very well-known parable about the man who built his house on the rock versus the man who built his house on the sand. And it talks about the difference was what happened when the storm came. What happens when the storm came? Now, when you think of that phrase, the storm, think of a couple things. One, I think of the daughter of George Evans, who was a preacher in Russia, imprisoned up to 15 years for preaching the gospel. His daughter wrote a book about him and his faithfulness to the Lord and called it Through the Storm. Probably some of you have read it. Through the Storm. And she was describing the storms of life that were experienced by the believers under communist Russia as they stood for the truth. And all that they went through the storm of life. And every one of us are going to go through storms. You know, when you think about a real storm, you think about something that's bigger than you, right? Something that's bigger than you. Something that you have no control over. And, the Bible talks in this parable, talks about that our life will be tested by the storms of life. And, it's not the easy times, but it's the difficult times that will be the tests. Now, there's a lot of tests, a lot of storms in life. of course, the biggest storm is death. You know, death is going to tell a whole lot. And death is going to be the victor. And what's going to be on the other side of death? A lot of people aren't prepared for death. You know, there are other storms of life that come. You know, I think of what I remember a Milwaukee Journal headline one time. It wasn't too long ago. And it was on the family page, and the headline was, Till Debt Do Us Part. And just talking about how one of the main reasons for debt, for divorce in America is debt. And that debt is like a millstone that is hung around people's head. And it will determine their future. And it will have more to say about their life than they want to admit. There's the storm of disease. We've known some people that experienced type 1 diabetes. And talking to them, they will tell you that in the world, families that whose children get type 1 diabetes many times destroys the family. You know, disease is a real thing. And it's something that's bigger than you and I. You know, there's a lot of disappointments in life. A lot of things don't exactly turn out the way that we expect them to turn out. Lots of disappointments in life. What are we going to do? What's going to happen to our life? Certainly, we could put a whole lot of other things here that could be the storms of life that come along. And what's going to happen in those storms? And life is many times a series of storms, tests that will determine what's going to happen with our life. Now, in this parable, the Lord is making a very simple truth here. If your life is going to pass the storms of life, you have to have a good foundation. Now, you know, I grew up in a home that did building, but I have to admit, I didn't understand the principle of the foundation. I knew that you had to have footings for a house, and they had to be so thick and so wide and et cetera. But, you know, somehow it escaped my brain, the principle of the foundation. So when we're building the first building here, there are a series of columns on that half of the auditorium. And I think there's three or four columns. And it came time to build the footings for those columns. I thought, wow. I think there was 2 yards of concrete under every one of those poles. And I couldn't comprehend. I says, you know, this is an awful lot of concrete, you know. And we were building the building on a pay-as-you-go matter. And, man, you know, 8 yards of concrete for 4 poles. That's a lot of money, you know. And but I didn't understand it. But, you know, the architect says, nope, that's what you got to have. Well, now I understand. You know, those 5 poles hold all the spancrete that underneath this auditorium. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight. And the foundation isn't supposed to move at all. It's got to keep everything exactly, you know, without any moving. Foundation is amazing how important a foundation is when you come to a building, a house. It's got to be right. And there's no place for, you know, cutting corners. Now, the Bible tells us that your life has to have a foundation. Now, he kind of gives us the picture of building your life is like building a house. Now, you know, I think of our newest subdivision right across the street here. And, you know, boy, there's some pretty nice houses there. The last I heard, going for the last one that I saw in the real estate column was $399,000. And, you know, that's, you know, a fairly large amount of money for a house. Certainly not as large as people are spending in Madison and other places. But, you know, here you got this beautiful house. And, you know, typically those houses have concrete drive. I think they all require to over there. Have a concrete, that's a lot of money. And, you know, most of them all, I don't think I saw any rust buckets in the garages. I didn't see any rust buckets in the garages. You know, I didn't, I think if you went inside it, probably no hand-me-down furniture. You know, I mean, I tell you what, it looks like everything's great, doesn't it? Looks like everything's great. Now, we're kind of crossing the line here, but what's going to happen, though, when those people who seem to have everything, what's going to happen when they die? What's going to happen when they die? I mean, it seems like they've built their life. They've built it to such a place that they could successfully make payments on on all of these things, I mean, they have a right. That's no small, situation there. They have seemingly made it in life. But do they have a foundation for their life? That's the big question. They have a foundation for their life. What's going to happen when they die? What's going to happen to their marriages if one of them get the terrible C word? What's going to happen to that marriage when one becomes an invalid at a young age? What's going to happen to that marriage? Is one going to say, that's it, I'm out of here? What's going to happen? What's going to happen when the next stock market crash comes? What's going to happen? And the next recession, what's going to happen? You know, the last recession, the typical $1 million home immediately went down to $500,000, right? What's going to happen? The next recession comes. What's going to happen when that big D comes? Debt. Is everything that looks so good, is it all going to crumble? You know, the foundation of life is really important. Just like a foundation of a building is so, so important. Now, you know, the Egyptians understood the importance of a foundation. And the fact is that these pyramids that are thousands of years old are still standing. Now, you know what that means? They had to have a good foundation. Now, the secret of the pyramids is that their foundation isn't flat. The secret of the pyramids, now, if the foundation is flat, the foundation is built on a curved earth. And when a foundation is flat on a curved earth, the stresses are going to produce cracks. But the pyramids were built on the principle that those who built the pyramids understood the earth was a sphere. And the gravitational pull had to be equal on all parts of that building. So when they built the foundation for the pyramids, they dug the hole, you might say, and they filled it with water. And the water would not lay flat, because the earth isn't flat. The water would conform to the sphere of the earth. And so the foundation was perfect. The gravitational pull on every part of that foundation was equal, because it was the water which would determine the height of and the shape of the foundation would be a sphere. Very slight, but a sphere. They understood the importance of a good foundation. Now, obviously Jesus is taking that part and he's saying that if our life is going to stand the storms of life, we have to have a good foundation. Now, he makes it simple about a foundation, but we want to look at it a little bit deeper today. He says that the life is about one simple thing. Verse 47. Life is about one simple thing. Now, these are the words of Jesus. They remind us of the words of Solomon. Okay? And the words of Solomon said, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what Solomon said. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, what did Jesus say here? He said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Now, what is he saying? He's saying that this whole parable about being able to stand the storms of life, building a foundation, is summarized in the fact that the duty of life, the whole duty of life, now, don't dissect it too intricately, because we know, understand about salvation, etc. What's he saying? What's the whole issue of life? The whole issue of life is to hear his sayings and do them. That's the issue of life. All of life is based on that one simple principle of hearing the word of God and obeying it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Hear the Bible, hear what Jesus said, and do it. That's the simple summary of life. Now, I could say it'd be a little bit facetious here and say, well, wow. Yeah, if you would do that today, you'd be called a legalist, wouldn't you? You'd be called a legalist. Person who is going to obey what God says. But the Bible says, and these are the words of Jesus, that the summary of life is about hearing His word and obeying it. Okay? That's pretty simple. Now He gives the parable. And He says, who is this person like that hears the word of God and obeys it? He is like a man which built a house and digged deep. Dig deep. Now, there's a principle there. How do you get a good foundation? The first thing you have to do is you have to dig deep. You have to dig deep. What is the principle of digging deep? Well, the principle is you have to dig, no matter how deep it is, you have to dig until you get to solid ground. You have to dig till you get to solid ground. I mean, you could dig 20 feet, and if the soil isn't right, you didn't dig deep enough. Of course, you know, they have bridges over swampland, right? And so if they're going to build a bridge over swampland, when I was growing up, they were building the bridges between Upper and the Lower and the Mobbin Lake. And that's a pretty big bridge there. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, they had a machine with a pounder that was pounding steel pilings down, 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 down. And they were there for months putting steel pilings in for that bridge. So until those steel pilings had to go down to solid ground. Solid ground. Now, I've been in Milwaukee lately, but you know, they say Milwaukee was built on a swamp. And when you build a building in Milwaukee, you're typically going to get somebody in there to pound steel pilings down till you get solid rock. Solid ground. You can't build a foundation on moving soil. It's only going to last so long. And so he said they had to dig deep. You had to get to solid ground. Well, you know, there's three things that are involved to getting to solid ground. To get to solid ground, you have to dig to that which is eternal. You got to dig to that which lasts, okay? And very simple truth, but you know, the first thing, there's three things involved here. You have to get to that which is eternal. You have to start your foundation on that which is eternal. There's three eternal things that you have to get to in order to build your life. You have to come to eternal truth, you have to come to the eternal God, and you have to come to eternal salvation. Without that foundation, your life will crumble. It will be nothing. It will not last. Eternal truth. You know what? One of the most assuring things in the Christian life is that truth is not relative. Truth isn't new. Truth is old. Truth isn't invented. Truth is eternal. You have to build your life on that which is eternal. You have to build your life on that which lasts. Doesn't change. Always is the same. You have to build your life. You got to get down to the fact that you're going to start building your life on the eternal Word of God. Of course, the Bible has a lot of things to say about the Bible and its lasting nature. I like some of the verses in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. The word of God. The truths of the word of God don't ever change. You know, a lot of religions are changing. You know what that tells you? For the most part, it tells you it's not based on the Bible. Not based on the Bible. Truth is forever and ever. It doesn't change. What is the truth of God's word? Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall not pass away till every jot and tittle of the law is fulfilled. The word of God is, I remember hearing a doctor, this is about 30 years ago. This doctor was speaking to a bunch of preachers, and he said, you know what shocked me? He says, at my graduation as a medical doctor, what shocked me was the speaker said, now, 20 to 40 years from now, up to 50% of what you have been taught will have been discovered to not be the truth. This is a medical doctor. You know what? That threw him for a loop. Wouldn't that throw you for a loop? That's why it says practicing medicine. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in doctors. I go to a doctor. But it tells you that a lot of what we consider to be absolutely right is not eternal. In fact, much of what throughout the ages what was considered science wasn't science at all. I mean, the scientists who determined that the earth was flat all those centuries. That wasn't science, was it? That wasn't science. But if you didn't believe it, you were considered crazy. But eternal truth. You have to base your life on the Bible. You can't base your life on, use a little phrase we use around here, the changing trends of a decaying culture. Boy, everybody wants to keep up with the trends of the day, don't they? Your life's not going to last. They're going to change. You know, I saw somebody around here with some glasses. And you know, I kind of laughed because when I was in high school, you had glasses with, you know, wider rims, you know. And then in a couple of years, that was considered old fogey. You had to get the narrow rims. You know what I mean? You had to get the narrow rims. And if you wore those old wide rims, you were considered old fogey. Well, then there was something after the narrow rim, the wire rims. I don't know what it was. But now we're back to the wider rims, right? Wow. You know what? That's foolishness. Just have to change with whatever the trend is. Well, that's like being a puppet. Have to do this, have to do that. You know? But, you know, there's more important things. But the truth of life, the eternal God, the God who cannot change, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the God who wrote the Bible, He still thinks the same thing about the sins of homosexuality, about divorce, about pornography, about murder. He thinks the same thing about those things as He did when He wrote the Bible. Amen? He didn't change His mind. God doesn't change His mind. Aren't you glad that salvation is eternal? Aren't you glad that salvation doesn't change? You see, the eternal things. Isn't it amazing? Now, you won't really know this unless you go out witnessing. But there's a lot of things in people's lives that are more important than salvation. There's a lot of things more important than salvation. You know, for some people, it's more important for them to have their live-in roommate. It's more important for them to have that live-in roommate that may walk out at any moment than to repent of their sins and get saved. That's more important than eternal salvation. For some people, it's their music. For some people, it's their favorite sins, whatever it is. That's more important than eternal salvation. So the whole issue is that the first point about having a life that is going to stand is you got to get down to that which lasts. You got to get down to bedrock. You have to get to solid ground. You have to get to the Bible. You have to get to God. You have to get to salvation. That's where you start. That's where you start. You can't build the foundation until you get to the rock. You got to dig deep. Now, if you haven't gotten to this part, you aren't going to be able to build your foundation. You got to get to the rock. You got to get to the solid ground. You got to get to the Bible and its eternal truth. You got to get to God, and you have to get to being saved. That's where you start your life. Now, once you get down to the rock, now you can build your foundation. Now, Jesus said building that foundation of your life is taking the Word of God and hearing it and obeying it. And I thought, okay, maybe you can figure out the seventh one, but there's seven foundational truths for your life to build on that foundation. And they're probably not in order of significance. They're just in order of whatever I wrote down. First of all, you have to have purpose. You have to have purpose. You have to have God's purpose for your life. What is God's purpose for a Christian? Now, I'm talking about building a life that when it's over, or in the trials of life, that it lasts. Okay? Number one, purpose. What is the purpose of life that God has given for Christians? What's your purpose? Now, you think about that. That's pretty basic. What's your purpose? Well, I think the answer is pretty simple. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did Jesus come to this earth? Jesus came to this earth to save sinners. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he died on the cross. The foundational foundational truths to build your life upon the rock of the Word of God is, first of all, have God's purpose for your life. You know what God's purpose for your life is? Have $1 million. That's not even much anymore. You know that? $1 million, that's nothing. You know what? God's purpose for your life isn't to be famous. That's not God's purpose for your life. And in fact, God's purpose for your life isn't to be comfortable. That's not God's purpose either. No, but there is something that is God's purpose for every single Christian. You know what it is? To be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's the purpose for every believer. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a foundational purpose of life. Nothing else compares to it. That is foundational purpose. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is a simple, basic principle. Now, is that your purpose? Okay? When's the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? When's the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? When's the last time that you sought to lead somebody to Christ? When's the last time you talked to someone about their soul and tried to influence them for God? Well, I mean, that pretty well tells us if that's a person's purpose or not, doesn't it? The second foundational truth is God's place for your life. God's place for your life. You know what God's place for your life is? I give you a verse. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's what the Bible says. You know, God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. In the center of that plan of the purpose for your life is where? The local church. That's God's plan for your life. Very simple. That's God's plan. Be in the right place. You know, we just had a funeral of a man who proved this to be true. His life was built around the local church. And his verse in the Bible, it says, not only Psalm 92, but others like it. He said he's going to build his family around the local church. Number three, foundational truth. Not only God's purpose, God's place, but God's provision. Why do I say that this is a foundational truth? Well, Proverbs chapter 3, we'll look at a couple of verses there. But verses 9 and 10 of Proverbs 3, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, we could take a number of different verses in the Bible about tithing. We could talk to a number of verses about money. But the Bible says this in Luke chapter 16. Maybe we should go there. Luke chapter 16. Sounds to me like this is kind of a foundational truth. In verse 10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" One of the foundational principles of life is the principle of God and your money. Foundational principle. And the Bible says, they that honor the Lord with their first fruits, that their barns will be filled. He says that those that are faithful in that which is least, and it's talking about money, will be faithful in that which is important. That's spiritual things. Sounds to me like a foundational truth, doesn't it? I know it's really not too popular, but a foundational truth. How does that work? How does that work? How do these things work? Well, I'm just going to help you understand how these things work. You know, that person who is going to be a witness, guess what? They don't have time to get bitter. Or if they get bitter, it's not going to last long. A person who's about soul winning isn't going to get worldly. Because you can't get worldly and have a right relationship with the Holy Spirit. A person that's going to witness is constantly going to recognize they need the Holy Spirit. They need His guidance. They need to be in touch with Him. They need to be led by Him. They need to be empowered by Him. Oh, you talk about a pretty essential part of life. I'd say being a witness is a pretty essential part of life. What's it saying? What are we saying? That a person who lives this way all their life, guess what? When the storms come, their life's not going to be blown away. Because they're going to keep on track. They're going to keep on track. And the same thing with, what about the Lord's house? You know what? Some people, they have all these excuses not to be in church. But whatever they are, but I tell you what, the person, let me give you an illustration. Did you know that the statistics are a person, a couple that is in church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now, it sounds to me, there's only one church that fit that in Fundamental Baptist. But you know what the divorce rate for that group of people is? 1%. Less than 1%. Compared to the world's divorce rate and the divorce rate of evangelicalism, sounds to me like it's pretty important, right, in the storms of life. What about that person who learns how to trust God with their money? You know what? Money is a lightning rod. Money is a lightning rod. The God of America is money, isn't it? Right? Everything in America is about money. Well, if you can put God first with your money, that's pretty big, isn't it? You put God first with your money. And you know, I remember when I first started tithing, we were poor. And we were poor. And if you go into the Lord's work, and you go into 8 years of education, you're going to be poor a long time. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that young people don't go into the Lord's work is because they don't want to be poor. They want to take all their money and spend it on their education. They want to be poor. That's not a very good reason. That's didn't pass the test right there. But you know, we are poor. And we had a couple of nice things we got from our wedding. And we got, we didn't have those registers, you know, like they have nowadays. So you got what you got, you know. And one of the things we got was we got a lot of nice towels. And man, we had a lot of nice towels. And it just happened that my wife, in the apartment building we were living, she washed all the towels. And she came back, she went, put them in there, and came back to the apartment, went back, and about an hour or so, and she said, "Ron, they're all gone. They're all gone. They're nowhere to be seen." And obviously someone stole them. Well, we didn't have any money to replace even towels. And I remember getting on my knees and says, "Lord, you promised you would take care of our needs. We've put you first financially, put you first in our lives. And Lord, we're just going to trust you." And to make a long story short, the police officer says, "Now, if you have a list of the color of the towels and the brand, I can go over to this." My wife went to every place in the apartment building, and she knocked on this one door, and she saw this clothes rack in the front room with all our towels on it. But, you know, we couldn't tell the lady, you know, "You stole our towels." So, but the policeman said, "Now, if you have a list of all the colors and the brands, and they match, then we can tell this person they were stealing them, you know." But I don't remember how it happened, but we got them all back, praise the Lord. But then the first thing we was able to do is say, "God, I'm not going to have to worry about this. We tithe, we've honored you, you're going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about it." The fourth, the fourth priority. I just have all P's here, okay? The fourth is purity. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16, "Be holy, for I am holy." Purity. God is a holy God. And if we live purely, guess what? It's going to turn out all right. It's going to turn out all right. Young person, in this impure world, I tell you what, you live purely, it's going to turn out right. That's just the way it is. Because we have a holy God. And you live a pure life. I remember when these guys, as teenagers, oh man, and the ones like them, oh man, they got a lot of flack for living for God. Oh man, they got a lot of flack for living for God. Guess how the ones who gave them a lot of flack are doing? Not too good. But you know, when you live a pure life and you decide you're not going to live for the world, you're not going to live for the things of this world, and you're going to be separate from the things of this world, and you're not going to have its music, and you're not going to have its lusts, and you're not going to have its pleasures. You know what? Guess what? You got a life that's going to stand the storm of time. Another thing. The foundation, Proverbs 8. The pursuit of God's word on a daily basis. The pursuit of God on a daily basis. Proverbs 8, 33 and 34. "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. The pursuit of God's word on a daily basis. You know, I don't know how you could fathom what would be how a person could live without reading God's word every day. Reading God's word, pursuing wisdom every day in God's word. Blessed is the man that watching at my gates daily. This is a foundational principle of life. Every day, being in God's word. Every day. I'm sure that there are people here today that would have to say that the greatest thing in their life is every day they read the Bible. Every day they're in God's word. It's the foundation. It is the strength of a person's life. Whatever you do in life, it's not going to work if you're not in God's word every day. Reading God's word every day. It's not going to work. The storm of life is going to come, and your life is going to be affected. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's a basic principle of life. The pursuit of God's word on a daily basis. Now, these are just some simple things. They have a purpose. The purpose of your life. You know what that means? That means if you haven't been able to talk to someone about Jesus lately, you feel really empty in your life. You feel really empty because you're missing the main thing. You don't have the right purpose. And et cetera. Now notice the promise. This is a promise. It's really a principle, but it's a promise. And I want to just think about what it says. What does it say will happen when the storms of life come? And we don't know what the storms are. And the storms are bigger than us. It is like a man which had a house built, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Wow. That's great. There's a principle, and you could take it as a promise. You build your life on the rock, the unchanging Word of God, the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ, the unchanging God of heaven. You build your life upon that which is eternal. You get saved, and you get to the eternal things of life. And now you start building on that. And you build your life on those foundational purpose, the God's purpose, God's place, God's provision, God's purity, God's pursuit of the Word of God. You build your life on those things. What's going to happen to your life? Doesn't matter what happens to you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. It doesn't matter what happens around you. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because a life that's built on the Word of God and obedience to Jesus Christ is going to stand. It's going to stand. Now you know what, young person? The rest of your life might seem like a long time, but I guarantee it's going to be really short. It's going to be really short. But the fact is, your life, in your life, there's going to be some big storms. There's going to be some big storms. And these storms are going to be beyond you and beyond your ability. But if you are building your life on the Word of God, on Jesus Christ, if you have these foundational principles, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. Because the prediction is going to come true that you're not going to be affected by it. You're still going to stay on the straight and narrow. You're still going to be faithful to God. You're still going to go forward for God. You're still going to believe the Bible. You're going to still serve Christ. You're still going to do the right thing. You're not going to change your convictions. You're not going to change your values. You're not going to give up what is right. You're not going to fall with the storm. But you ever notice? They say every person has seven friends. Did you ever hear that before? Every person has seven friends. And you know what the saying is? The saying is, every person has seven friends. And when that one person does the wrong thing, their seven friends follow them. Does that sound like a person whose life is built on the rock? No. It's not a person whose life is built on the rock. It's a person whose life is built on the changing values and principles and thinking of this world. So, what happens when death comes? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that there will be church members, and all what they have done is going to be burned in the fire. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 3, it says, now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here's a whole life of effort burned up. Why? Because their life was not built on obeying God. Their life wasn't built on obeying God. They were saved, but they didn't base their life on obedience to God's word. Think about this in the Bible. Think about this great promise, Psalm 128. I usually read this with parents when they have their little baby. Psalm 128, the first two verses. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. In other words, the person who the Lord is their Lord. He isn't just in title, but he is the Lord. And they submit to him, they obey him. Now think of it. I want us to think about the people of Israel. We had the people of Israel came up out of the promised land. We have the 12 spies. And the 10 of the spies said, we can't take the land. And Joshua and Caleb, two of the other spies said, we can do it. And all the people listened to the 10 spies, and they said, we aren't going to do God's will. Which two people got to go into the promised land? Caleb and Joshua, right? All the other men didn't get to go to the promised land. Why did Caleb and Joshua, why did they get to go to the promised land? Because they obeyed God. They said, we're going to obey God. Wow. That was pretty simple. They decide they're going to obey God. And guess what? When the test came, they did right. And when their life was over, when his life went on, they got God's blessing. What was the simple formula? They were people that obeyed God. Now, you know, every one of us are human. And you know, every one of us have tests. And everybody is weaker in one area than others. But are we going to obey God in that area of weakness? Are we going to say, God, I'm going to obey what you say. The Bible says such and such, I'm going to obey it. Well, it's very simple. That is the clue. Those who take the Bible and obey it in the area that's tough for them, they're the people like Joshua and Caleb. When the storm comes and beats upon that life, they're going to stand. It's a simple formula, a simple truth. It's hard to live, but it's a simple truth. Obedience to God's word. There's so many other great things we could say about that. But I'm wondering today, what if you were like Job and his test came to your life? Would you do what Job's wife said to him? Job's wife says, curse God and die. And Job said, no. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. He made it, didn't he? He stood in the test. And our life is going to be tested right here. And our life is definitely going to be tested at the day of death. I trust that you're building your life on eternal ground. I hope you're building your life on eternal ground. I hope that you today will make that decision to repent of your sin and trust Christ, and then as a believer, get a hold of the eternal God, get a hold of eternal truth, and build your life on these foundational truths that will make the difference in your life. And maybe one of these foundational truths you have left out of your life. I'd encourage you today to get it put in order today. Life is too short. Life is too difficult to have a big place in our life that's a weak spot. And maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about that today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God today. And we thank you that, Lord, that it is such a blessing to be able to look at the future without fear. It is such a blessing to be able to look at the future without doubt. It is such a blessing just to be able to rest in you, knowing that, Lord, if we are following you, obeying you, it doesn't matter what the storm is. That, Lord, you'll be able to strengthen us. You will carry us through. We will make it through. Faithful, true to you. Because we built our life on foundational truths, upon the Word of God, upon obedience. Lord, as we bow here, I pray that you would put within the heart of the people of God to be an obedient Christian and to recognize that is the key for the future. And Lord, I pray for that lost person that is here today, that, Lord, their life might amount to a whole lot on this earth, but it won't matter a bit if they die and they're lost and they go to hell forever. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. Heads bowed and eyes closed, and you hear today and you say, you know what? God is speaking to me about building my life on the rock, upon the foundation, being a wise person. And perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? I haven't done the number one thing, that's gotten saved. I haven't trusted Christ. Pastor, you pray for me. If I died right tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Maybe you know you're not saved, but you need to get to the point where you're willing to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not ready for the day of death because I'm not saved. And God is speaking to my heart today. Anyone here today? Okay. I see that hand. Another. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. I'm not. Okay. I see that hand. I'm not ready. I need to be saved. Okay. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? I am saved. But I'm not building my life on obedience to God's word. Maybe there's a number of those areas we talked about. And those are not foundational truths in your life, and the storms of life are going to come, and the weakness is going to be seen. And you say, God has spoken to my heart about building my life on these unshakable foundational truths. And there's something that you want to get adjusted today in your life. And say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken to my heart. An important decision I need to make. Anyone here today? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Lord, now I thank you that your Holy Spirit is gracious and loving and merciful and speaks to our heart. And Lord, you are wooing souls to come to you. You love them. And Lord, I pray that you would work in precious hearts to turn in surrender, to turn in faith to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord, for the people of God, that your precious Holy Spirit has spoken to their heart, given them a truth that they need to apply, and that even today they have made a surrender with you, Lord. I pray that you'll give them a decisiveness, understanding, the power of the Spirit of God, the ability to follow through and to trust you in that simple childlike obedience. Now bless, Lord, the people of God, this invitation even, in Jesus' name, amen.